This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says Farm Bill implementation is going well. To date, Vilsack says $5.2 billion in disaster assistance payments to more than 620,000 producers have been distributed. But Vilsack also admits that there have been a couple of hiccups.
We are working on an effort in Texas and Oklahoma in particular. We've identified about 250 counties where we're reviewing the determinations of yields based on the fact that we may not have had enough specific information for producers in those counties for them to distinguish between irrigated and non-irrigated land. So we've been using a larger district or countywide number. Folks have asked us to rethink that, which we are in the process of doing. And once we do that, if it changes the yields, farmers in those areas will have an opportunity until the middle of May to revise their ARC-PLC election.
So far, Vilsack says 1.7 million producers have made their election, and the same number of owners have also decided to reallocate their base acres. On the dairy side, he says USDA is making a small amount of payments to dairy producers who opted for participation in the Dairy Margin Protection Program and purchased the $8 coverage.
Prices have come to the point where it's slightly below that $8 differential. This is a fairly small amount of money that's being spent, but it does indicate that the program is working, and we'd anticipate and expect as folks make decisions for 2016, they'll be keeping an eye on dairy prices.
In addition, Vilsack reminds everybody of the June 1st conservation compliance deadline. He says that deadline is set in stone.
Folks have to have their AD 1026 on file. If they do not, then they won't be entitled to the subsidies in the crop insurance program and may not be entitled to some of the protections under the Farm Bill. So we want to make sure everybody understands the need to get that done. A lot of specialty crop producers have never had to have that form on file. That's why we're continuing to repeat this and have made many, many press releases with that information.
Again, that was Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. For a look at this week's livestock markets, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
Well, we started off the week with the cattle market selling off following a bearish cattle on feed report on Friday. I say bearish because it was probably less bullish than expected. The trade was looking for the cattle on feed report to show that March placements were down about 5.5% from year-ago levels. But instead, they were pretty equal with year-ago levels. And what we saw was a pattern of a lot of heavyweight cattle. About 40% of the placements were over 800 pounds, meaning that with the lush pasture we're seeing this spring, that we're keeping the cattle on the pasture longer, putting them on more weight, trying to pull down those break-evens before putting them into the feedlot. And that's probably the pattern we're going to see for a while. But while we pushed the prices lower on Monday, we found good support underneath the market. The futures are already at a big discount to cash, and the packers are still having trouble finding enough cattle to slaughter, and we're seeing some good demand news. So as we go into Tuesday, we're seeing prices rebound again, and basically what the cattle on feed report is saying, hold back on the bullish euphoria, but we still have some fairly supportive fundamentals. Just keeps the emotions in check, but this market is well supported for now.
After seeing some of the lowest cattle numbers in recent decades, many are looking for signs that the U.S. cattle herd is growing. So far, the signals are mixed.
I'm hearing reports that we're seeing an increase in heifer retention, which would mean trying to rebuild that cow herd. Unfortunately, we're not seeing that confirmed at the sale barn. We're seeing overall prices at the sale barn for lightweight cattle continue to drop. The rumor had been with heifers being held back that we're going to tighten supplies of feeder cattle and therefore push feeder cattle prices higher. While we occasionally have higher days for the feeder cattle prices, overall we're still trending lower. So we're not seeing that confirmation yet of that. And cow-calf men are still having to make that tough decision, hold the heifer back or take the good money being offered now.
In the hog markets, supply and demand were at odds for a period of time, but some balance seems to be returning.
Well, the cold storage report that we saw a little over a week ago definitely showing that we have started to bring supply and demand into better balance. Yes, the supply is big, but demand is improving and strengthening overall, and using up that supply. We're no longer building up supplies in the freezer. We're actually started to pull them down a little bit in the month of April, and there's some sense that this avian flu problem is going to get so bad that, yes, it would hurt exports, but in hurting exports, it might increase export demand for hams and other pork products, and actually could become such a problem over the next few years that it would remove some competition from the cheaper alternative meat supply. And so we're seeing a little bit more optimism now. The charts are looking a little bit more friendly. I think we'll continue to be quite choppy and have some big swings in prices, but overall, near term, see the prices continuing to slowly trend higher as this market tries to maintain a balance between supply and demand.
Of course, one of the biggest news items in the livestock market is the continued spread of the H5N2 avian influenza. Suderman says the poultry industry is hoping to see the number of outbreaks dwindle with warmer weather.
It is continuing to spread. In fact, we're seeing more reports coming out of Iowa, another five flocks impacted this week that have been reported so far, impacting 6 million birds. So we're continuing to see a spreading of avian flu. We thought that it would have started to slow by now as temperatures warm up, and ultimately we're expecting the number of cases to drop dramatically this summer, but then return again as temperatures cool in the fall.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this. With some nice dry weather this week, farmers are rushing out to the fields, but safety specialist with CHS in Shipman, Dave Reinisch, reminds everyone that this means extra traffic on the roads and increased safety hazards.
With the wet fall we had last year and kind of a late ammonia and fertilizer season, as well as farmers getting in the field and getting their corn planted, we have a lot of things going on. At this time, we've got between 250 and 300 anhydrous ammonia nurse tanks on the road with 130 guys and ladies pulling them up and down the road, and that certainly causes a lot of risk for our employees and for the public as well if we don't take the proper precautions when transporting that.
Ensuring the equipment they are using is in good condition is top priority for farmers. Reinisch runs down some of the most important safety checks that should be done on a regular basis to reduce the risk of accidents.
Maintenance is a key to any implement going up and down the road. So here at CHS, we spend all year during the off season and the busy season making sure that our equipment is in top-notch condition when it leaves our plants. The most important thing that if a farmer or customer is pulling their own is to make sure there's a few safety checks they can take in consideration. First of all, make sure that slow-moving vehicle signs on the back of those ammonia tanks, where you have a flashing light as well. Definitely, we need to let the public know that we're coming down the road. A lot of times, we've got to take on the role as being the more prepared and the one that is aware of what's going on around us, as some people in the public don't realize, you know, what we've got going on. Keep it slow. Those running gears, we keep them in really good condition, and a lot of times, it seems like they may want to pull a little bit faster, or you can pull them a little bit faster. But the law states and our regulations and safety guidelines say 25 miles an hour, and that is very important when transporting.
Even when precautions are taken, accidents can still happen. Reinisch gives some advice for anyone who is involved in or witnesses a farming accident involving chemical equipment.
It doesn't matter what kind of fertilizer or chemicals a person may come across. I mean, accidents do happen, unfortunately. We take every precaution to make sure they don't. But if they do, the most important thing you can do is stop and be proactive and take care of yourself. Let the others around you know that there's a problem ahead. Maybe try to stop traffic. Definitely call 911 if somebody's hurt. And just try to stay upwind from those types of chemicals, because you never know what's going to be in those trucks or in those tanks.
Reinisch adds that for farmers who will be most at risk during a chemical-related accident, that having the right protective gear in place beforehand is their best chance at reducing injury to themselves.
First and foremost, first line of defense in the event of an accident or an incident is to have your personal protective equipment on. Here at CHS, we provide personal protective equipment, gloves, goggles, and emergency water to all of our customers and our employees. And we certainly advise our customers to carry extra water and to make sure that your equipment's in good condition. If you ever feel that you need a new pair of gloves or goggles, we definitely here have all you need and are happy to give those to you.
But Reinisch also reminds farmers that one of the most effective ways of avoiding accidents is simply making sure that you are well-rested or well-caffeinated and alert before doing anything else.
Another thing when talking about this time of year, because so many things are going on, we talk about fatigue and people getting tired, working long hours. I mean, it's just the business that we're in. And so if you have to take that five-minute break, get a cup of coffee, by golly, we should do that. It's certainly better to be safe than sorry. The last thing is, a lot of times we always say, five-minute checklist, make sure your chains and pens are in good condition when hooking up your implements, and make sure you have that safety water with you. And that's, we have signs here at our facility as you're going out, and just like to get the word out there that, you know, it's one of the most important things we can do when transporting these chemicals up and down the road.
Again, that was Safety Specialist with CHS in Shipman, Dave Reinisch. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.